Yesterday, Lancaster Bible College had a teaching conference, I guess what you call it, and some of our folks were there, and I appreciate them taking the time out of their schedule. Some of them are downstairs teaching right now, but those who were at Lancaster Bible College yesterday, I want you to stand up, do a 360, and then you may sit back down. Ready? One, two, three. Stand up, do a 360, and then sit back down. No, that wasn't too bad. I mean, that was. Hey, I appreciate our teachers, Awana, Sunday School, Grace Space. We have a number of ministries going on. Some of them you don't see. And how many parents are glad their kids are not here for the service? Okay, we won't talk about that. Man, I have some amazing grandkids. I mean, they are just amazing. They're almost as smart as. Never mind. But yes, this past week I was riding. I was coming up the road there up to You know where that pig is? The big porcelain pig over there. And my grandson was in the back. I had my Toyota Tacoma, and I had the seat down, and he was in the booster seat. And so he feels big because he can see right out the windshield, but he's still safe. He's always safe with me. Anyways, we were going up through, and so he's a talker. So I said, hey, what do you see? Tell me what you see. And I expected cows or whatever. I expected him to spot the porcelain pig up there. But he looks at one of those things, and he looks at this thing, and he said, there's an excavator. And this kid is 2 years old, and I'm thinking, that is amazing. An excavator. How many syllables does that have? Excavator. Super intelligent, okay? All of my grandkids are intelligent, just like their grandmother, okay. But anyways, but every kid, once in a while, parents, you're not particularly impressed with your kids' vocabulary. Sometimes maybe. But grandparents, it's like it's been so long since the kids were small that how many grandparents have ever thought, wow, that was amazing? How many? Okay. Yeah, wow, more than I. That was amazing. His first words. No. But it was huge. It was amazing. Like, this kid is really sharp. Now, this morning, we're going to look at another sharp kid. Now, when I say kid, I do not mean anything derogatory or demeaning by that. Okay, you understand? It's a capital K. Okay, it happens to be Jesus that we're looking at this morning. Okay, now next week we're going to look at Psalm 118, Palm Sunday, and the next week we're going to look at Psalm 22, and that's Easter Sunday. And so this morning we're going to close out Jesus' childhood. Okay, and this morning let's go ahead and read the scripture. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. And the guy there is saying, no, I haven't seen him, okay? And that's the idea. So, when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him, looking for him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Who would have thunk it? I mean, he's serious in the temple. What's he doing? Sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And everyone, all who heard him, were flabbergasted, astonished, amazed at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, when his parents saw him, Joseph and Mary saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, son, what are you doing here? I can't believe you did this. No. See, every once in a while, I try to envision what I would say. Where you been? You do this? No. Here's how it went. This is exact. Son, why have you done this to us? And there's no note of anger or frustration, maybe just a tad. Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. I think I've seen something like that before. She kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She's trying to figure out this kid. How many of you have ever looked at their kid when they're sleeping, especially, and try to figure out your kid? It's like, Oh, man. And see, she's the typical parent, but she does not have a typical kid. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. The stage is set for Jesus' first public words. Now, he might have spoken earlier. We don't know that, okay? But when he was 12, he's in public. These are the first recorded words that we have of Jesus. Last time we saw him, he was in the temple, but he was what? He was a brephos, a baby. Now he is a young man, 12 years old, and we finally hear him speak. That's about a 12-year lapse almost, okay? Now, Jesus' parents are pictured in their godly piety and obedience to God's word, though not his biological father. Now, we had a different quote last week, but I think it's important for you and I to understand, though not his biological father, Joseph was the everyday practical father to the child. Question, and this is a very simple answer, who was Jesus' father? Okay, very good. Everybody gets an A for the day so far. Okay, you'll probably mess up later, but we'll give you an A so far. Okay, and God was his father, and Luke knew that. But sometimes they refer to his parents, understanding it. Practically speaking, everybody looked at Joseph as his dad. The family trekked to the holy city every year to celebrate the Passover. The 75-mile, 3-day journey that was going to the Passover was undertaken with family and friends for security reasons. What do you mean by security reasons? Tell me, Luke chapter 10 is the story of the what? Go ahead. Good Samaritan. Now, what was the Good Samaritan's, what's the situation there? Well, the one guy, he's going where? To Jerusalem or Jericho, one of those cities, and he happened to get waylaid. People pounded him, beat him up, left him for dead, and ripped his clothes and took him away. Now, folks, when you went to Jerusalem, you don't want to go alone. You want to have somebody with you. And so when they went up to Jerusalem, they would have a whole family. They would have a village go up with them, okay? And so we need to understand that this is a dangerous route to go up to Jerusalem. And you go in the daytime, and you don't go alone even in the daytime. Okay? It's a dangerous, sort of like, I can name a few cities there, but we won't do that, okay? They appreciated the significance of the celebration which commemorated the nation's rescue from Egyptian bondage. By the way, Deuteronomy 16:16, 3 times a year, all your what? Males. Yeah, but Mary went along. What does that say? It says that Joseph and Mary were close, and Mary was a pious young lady. Now, here's another question. This is where you drop to a B or a C. How old do you think Mary was at this point in time? Answer, 26 is good, 28 is fine. Those are acceptable. Anything that differs from that, you're a little off, okay? Some of you are a little off anyways, but that's okay. We love you. Now, 14, 15, let's say 16 when she had Jesus. You're 12 years later, and let's see, 14, 16 plus 12 is 26. So Mary is 26 years old. Now, folks, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but 26 is young, right? Now, everybody old will say, yeah, and everybody who's young will say, that's not me. Anyways, that's the way life is, okay? But anyways, 3 times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place. Now, that's Deuteronomy. So far, the place had not been designated, but this is the place. At the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. And so that's the scenario. Joseph and Mary are going up. This is not a new thing. How often do they do this? Answer, every year they do this. And they are faithful. Now, they went as a family. Jesus is 12 years old. The following is reasonable speculation. Okay? Now, I want you to understand this. You're not going to find this in our passage. But this is reasonable speculation. Here it is. The following is reasonable. If procreation, how many know what procreation is? Okay? How many know what that means having babies? Okay? Now how many understand? Procreation means having babies. That means husband and wife, hopefully, have babies. And interestingly, if procreation is normal, Jesus has as many as 5 siblings. Now, Jesus is 12. Now, folks, this is the way it worked for us. Every 2 years we had a kid. Okay? Every two, not infinitely, but every two. We had one in 76, 78, 80, 82, 84, and then we were surprised later, 3 years later, and then we had one. But that's normal procreation. This is before birth control, okay? This is before man got in there and tried to, and I'm not against birth control, okay? There's a time when you, anyways, we better move on. Okay, the point of this is this. In Mark chapter number 6, verse 3, I muffed it up in your bulletin notes there. In 6:3, Mark, is this, the people are looking at Jesus, and here's the question. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? James wrote the book of James. How many knew that? You knew that. And Judas, what book did he write? Jude. These are the brothers of Jesus. They are not cousins. This is the word for brothers. And it's not spiritual brothers. That doesn't happen until the Acts and after Acts. These are brothers. Jesus had four little brothers. Mary was a virgin. She had a baby. And then the normal process took over. And folks, if a religion is wrong in this major issue, it is probably and is wrong in a lot of other issues. And folks need to wake up. They need to read their Bibles. Anyway, this helps to set the stage. So, Joseph has, he's 12, and he's got a sibling 10, or 8, 6, 4, and 2. Good grief, Mary's pregnant again. Can you imagine that? Yeah, there's number 5, boy, coming. Or 4 or 5, anyways. She's got a lot of kids. Yeah. And that's the way it is. That's what the Word of God says. The village traveled together. Faith flourishes in community. And folks, read that with me. Ready? Faith flourishes in community. If you think you can be a Christian and be a loner, you have a problem. And I can say that based on the authority of the Word of God. You cannot be a Christian and a loner. If you choose. Now, there are people who are in special situations where they cannot get out, okay? But if I choose to live my life as a Christian by myself, I am a big failure. And I'm saying that. And you, if you want to argue, stop in sometime this week, okay? In Jewish culture, 12 was the age of discernment and 13 the age of responsibility. There's the difference. There is a difference between discernment and responsibility. Discernment says, I can think and I know the difference between. Responsibility says, now I am responsible for taking my discernment and putting it into effect. Just like you'd like to know that. He's not there yet. Now, it is coming up in this time of the year. About this time of year, the tabloids, I tried to put this in hot pink, but it didn't work very well, hot purple, purport to reveal shocking details about Jesus' silent years and his hidden secrets. How many have ever read those things? Jesus' secret prophecies. Oh my, you can't read the small print. Plus, the untold story of his friend, his family, his disciples, his descendants, and much, much more. Boy, that's worth rushing out and grabbing, right? There's other ones too. Dick Cheney is a robot. It's like people write this kind of trash. And I said trash, yeah. It's like, what in the world? Here's another one. Hillary Clinton adopts an alien baby. Where in the world did that come from? Here's another one. Ah, ancient photo of Jesus found. Primitive camera captured Christ's image in 30 AD. It's like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Well, not really. I've heard dumber stuff. He said, you know what? People buy this stuff. People buy this stuff and they read it. Oh, yeah, the Bible's not real. Didn't you know that Jesus, he made little birds out of mud and he set them free and he cursed his friends and all. It's like, where'd you get that? Well, it's in the papers. It's got to be true. Now it's on the internet, so it's got to be true. Here's another one. 500-foot Jesus appears at the UN. Tourists take snapshot of the image that will rock the world. No buyers yet? Hidden Bible messages revealed. By the way, Jimmy Hoffa's up there too. Folks, I hope you don't get sucked into this dumb stuff. But you, I can guarantee it, you go to Walmart, you go to Kmart, you go to the other places, and you will see it on the shelf. And you will say, Pastor was right once. That stuff is such so dumb. There is nothing that we know of between Jesus' baby years and 12. Folks, understand? Yeah. And so, and why do you say that? Because you guys see that stuff, and what it does is it plants little doubts in your mind. You know, are the apocryphal books, are the pseudepigraphical works, well, let me put them up here. Apocryphal, pseudepigraphical, and fanciful infancy stories may sell, but they are not like the biblical account with its simplicity, straightforwardness, and historical accuracy. If you want to know, go to the Word of God. If it's not in the Word of God, you better be careful. Check your sources. After staying all 7 days of the feast, they packed up and headed home. They inadvertently leave him behind, okay? Again, how many have ever left their kid behind at somebody's house or at the church? Okay? Yeah. Some of you with larger families, okay? Harley and Jean, how many children? 7. Dave and Lois, how many kids? 11. Did you ever leave anybody behind? Oh, my. You're amazing, okay? You had a checklist. Everybody has a seat, and if you're not there, you're not here, okay? Wow. After staying all 7 days of the feast, that is dedication. They didn't just go and show up and sign their name and then check out, okay? 7 days of the feast, they packed up and headed home without their eldest son, who was hanging out in the holy city. This isn't his first visit, okay? He comes every year, as far as we know. His parents came up. How many of the kids came along? I don't know, okay? But this isn't Jesus' first visit. He knew where he was at. They assumed he was traveling home with the family and friends with which he came. And that sounds reasonable. They're going on a 3-day journey. They're going on a 3-day camping trip. Call it that. They pack up. Jesus says, do you mind if I go with John? I don't know if he went with John the Baptist or not, okay? Just call him John, okay? You mind if I go? No, go ahead. Just obey, okay? No problem obeying with Jesus, okay? So he goes over there. They travel up together. At night, he comes over with Joseph and Mary, checks in with the rest of the family, and they sleep. They get up the next day. They're going to Jerusalem. They camp out, let's see, the end of day 1, the end of day 2, the end of day 3. They camp out, okay? Now, they get up, and they're heading back, and do you see Jesus? Oh, he's with John. He's been with him all weekend. Okay, let's get going. Now, what happens? Well, in the evening, after a day's travel, when setting up camp for the night, they discovered he's missing, okay? So they go a whole day. There's Jerusalem, and there's home. They go a whole day. They set up camp, and did you see Jesus anywhere? We lost Jesus. Where is this guy, okay? Can't find him. Oh, he's probably at John's. They go looking around. Now, folks, part of our problem is we read the Bible, and we just set our imagination aside. God gave you an imagination for a reason, okay? And you need to use that. So they get to the end, and Jesus is not there. It's like, I haven't seen him. Nobody's seen him. Oh, man. Now, let me ask you a question. Are they going to go back that night? Answer, no. Why not? It's not safe. It's dangerous. People have been killed doing that. And you have a man and a woman, or just a man, but Joseph and Mary are pretty close. Husband and wife, and so they're going back together. And they're not going at night. And so what happens? When setting up camp, they miss him. What happens? They started back to the holy city the next day. So they're out one day. What are they doing? They're turning around. That kid. I don't know if they ever said that. I just made that up. They start back, and they go back to Jerusalem. Okay? Now, tell me something about the time of day when they get back to Jerusalem. It is night. It's nighttime. There are no streetlights. There might be a few campfires, homeless people, whatever. But there are no... And so what are they going to do? They're going to go back to their relative's house. They're going to sleep overnight. We'll find him the next day. Jerusalem is not such a dangerous place. Jesus is no dummy, okay? He's 12 years old. He is, starts with a D, he is discerning, okay? So they can count on him. He stayed with one of his relatives. Now, again, that is fabrication. That is intelligent, accurate guessing, okay? For lack of a better word. Give me some time. I can think of a better way to say it. The search for Jesus leads to the Father's house. On the third day, they finally catch up with their son. As they walk through the holy city searching, inquiring about, have you seen Jesus? Have you seen him? For him, they finally come to the temple where they'd last seen him. Now, they should have started there, right? I'm not comparing myself to Joseph and Mary and saying I'm smarter. But you know what? I saw him last where? He was at the temple, okay? They probably started with his relatives, okay? Where do you go? You go to visit the people that are closest to you. Did you catch that? You go to the place where the people that you love live. I love that. I just thought about that this morning, right now, on my feet. You go to the place where you know the people that you love live. Now, some of you, that went over your head. Hopefully, it lands a little bit during the message. They are undoubtedly relieved and yet a little disturbed. And they share that. This 12-year-old is not playing in the streets or cowering fearfully in some corner. He is sitting quite comfortably among the teachers and learned adult men. Folks, that is amazing. There are very few children who would venture into a crowd of men, much less people who are intelligent and have. This guy he's sitting there, and what else is he doing? In fact, he is listening intently to what they're saying and asking questions of them. This kid is unusual. Now, folks, my point this morning is, I want to impress upon you, Jesus is an amazing person. No one was ever like Jesus. No one. This kid is having a conversation. He's sitting, and he's 12. And he's sitting still. Now that's an accomplishment. And he's listening. And he's a man. And he's listening. How many think that's an accomplishment? Every woman, raise your hand. Okay? Yeah. And he's listening. And he's asking intelligent, provocative, sometimes rhetorical questions to these learned men. This kid is amazing. Capital K. He's amazing. Nothing is shared about the contents of the discussion. There is only the amazement at the quality of Jesus' participation. How much did he know? When did he know it? These are fair questions for which we have no satisfying answers. I'd like to know that. When did he know about the cross? When did he know about the crucifixion, the empty tomb? When did he know that? And the answer is what? Go ahead. I don't know. Did he at some point? Oh, obviously. He knew that. But you know what? Do not be anxious for the morrow. For the troubles of tomorrow will take care of themselves. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know what? I think there was an early time when Jesus knew about the garden, when he knew about the crucifixion. But you know what? You live one day at a time. Even unsaved people say that. You live one day at a time. And I doubt that he spent a lot of time laboring over the cross and all of that until probably next week, Passover, when he started getting mentally prepared. Folks, Jesus Christ is the God-man, okay? And he too had to get mentally prepared for what was coming up. And he got prepared most intensely where? In the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Folks, you need to spend some time reflecting on Jesus. What else? This kid has drawn the attention of everyone within earshot with his ability to understand and interact with the educated. His understanding comes from being more than simply a precocious child. He is the Son of God. What's precocious? I used to think precocious. You're precocious. Is that bad or good? Well, precocious. advanced, developed, intelligent, bright, gifted, talented, mature, articulate. How many would like to be precocious? Okay. I'm glad I got that cleared up. I really did. I thought precocious, that sounds like somebody who's a little troublemaker. How many knew what precocious meant before they got here today? Be honest, okay? How many knew? Okay, there's 6-7 of you, okay? You are intelligent. Good for you. I didn't. I know now. One of the occasions, on the occasion of their discovery, there is a fascinating, if not amusing, exchange of questions. When his parents saw him, they could hardly believe what they were seeing. Had he been quiet for a few years? Okay, see, I don't know. But they're listening like, wow, this is amazing. This was a new revelation for Joseph and Mary that he is sitting there with these learned men. When his mother saw him, she shared her frustration and anxiety resulting from his momentary disappearance. Jesus, where have you been? You know, we were worried about you, okay? Now, that's not mean, that's not scolding, it's just a matter of concern. His response is respectful, yet mildly confrontational. Luke records Jesus' first public words. There's a better translation. I'm not sure what your translation is in your Bible. The top one is okay, but I like these better. Why were you so worried? You should have known I would be in my Father's house. You should have known where to find me, where God my Father lives. I like those. Now, remember when I was standing over here and I said, when Jesus looks for a place to sleep at night, where would he go? He would go to the house of someone who loves him. He would go to a place that he loves that person. Where did they find Jesus? In his Father's house. In his Father's house. What a wonderful thing. Folks, these are the kind of things that you sort of think about. This is how I think. You know, where would you go? Where would you go? What house would you go to where somebody loves you, where you know you're loved, and where you love somebody? Where would you go? Everybody ought to have a place like that. And folks, it ought to be here, where people love you, where you're accepted. We don't approve of everything you do, just in case you want to know that. But you are loved and you are accepted. That's the kind of place I want to be. That's the kind of church we want. True or false? True or false? That is true. A place where I'm loved, accepted. I don't approve of everything. My kids, I always love my kids. And I'm hoping that they always loved me. Did I approve everything they did? Answer, go ahead. No. And neither did you. That's the kind of place we want to be. Well, Luke portrayed Jesus' awareness of his unique relationship to his Father. Because of that relationship, Jesus must be in his Father's house. Jesus declares the necessity of being in God's house, where God's presence is held to reside and where instruction about God is given. Jesus' relationship to his Father and his wisdom are the keys to the passage. What is clear is that Jesus does not struggle to know either God or his own mission. Jesus, the Son, knows who God is. Jesus knows his mission. How much? We're not sure. Jesus' reply was not so much a reproach about having the right priorities as it was a declaration of mission. My mission begins at my Father's house. Like previous occasions, his parents had difficulty fully comprehending what was happening. And that's true. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And here she does the same. What he was saying to them was beyond their understanding. Do you understand everything that Jesus says? Answer, no. You know what? Mary did not give up trying. Mary continued to keep the things that Jesus said, ponder them in her heart. The saga of Jesus is put on hold for almost 20 years. The family returns home with their intriguing son. Jesus tags along with his parents and submits to them. His obedience to them makes it clear that this previous incident was not a case of adolescent rebellion. Jesus didn't say when he was 12, I don't feel like going home, hanging around with them. I'm going to stick around here. That's not what happened. Jesus' submission appears to have lasted at least 17 years, and in the intervening time, Joseph died. Again, Joseph was a bit older than Mary. maybe as much as 10 years older. And by the time Jesus begins his ministry, Joseph has probably gone home to be with the Lord. He's probably dying. Jesus' mother is still trying to sort things out. She hasn't given up on trying to figure out all these things. This young man will continue to grow and develop as he prepares for his future public appearance and ministry. He continues to increase in spiritual insight and application. He continues to develop physically. He continues to grow in grace. The reference to favor or grace has to do with moral growth and favorable perception. Are you waking? Are you awake? Danger. Here it is. The danger in church history has been to go to extremes in Christology. Now, what is that? The study of Christ, who Christ is. By either elevating the divine dimension of Jesus' nature to the exclusion of his human nature. And there are some, and they've got fancy names for them, Docetists and other, I can't even remember, I can't even pronounce them, but people who elevated, oh, he was just God. He was not a man. That's an aberration. I think that's a word. Or discounting the divine dimension to make him only human. That's probably the error of today. He's only human. Jesus is just a man. That's all he is. He's just a man. He claimed to be God. Well, and there are some who would say, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. Where have you been? Read the Gospel of John. Why do you think they tried to stone him? Because he claimed to be God. Fully God, fully human. You understand that? Answer. No. Somebody said, yeah. I want to talk to that person. I'm not going to look anywhere. But I don't understand how a person could be two-natured, fully God, fully man. Don't understand it. Do I believe it? Oh, yeah, because the Bible teaches it. Okay? I don't have to understand. There are a lot of things I don't understand, a lot of things you don't understand. To you, who is Jesus Christ? How many have read that question before? You better raise your hand. To you, who is Jesus Christ? That's the number two question in Share Jesus. Got to know that. To you, who is Jesus Christ? This has everything to do with salvation. If you do not know who Jesus Christ is, you are not saved. Can I say that? Well, not only can I just did say it. Is that true? Answer, yes. If you do not know who Jesus Christ is, you better get ready. This has everything to do with salvation. All will have to wrestle with Jesus' identity and decide exactly who Jesus is. When Jesus came, this is scripture, Matthew 16. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, hey guys, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What are people saying as you go down to the villages? What are people saying? Well, some say John the Baptist. Some think you're Elijah. Others, Jeremiah, or maybe one of the prophets. So the guys, this is a brainstorm. They share this is what people are saying. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And I would question you this morning, who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you say that Jesus is? Now, who's going to answer this? Peter. Peter. Not rabbit. Peter. Peter. He's got an answer for everything. And I like Peter. Okay? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Wow. And Jesus goes on and said, you didn't come up with that yourself. Okay? God revealed that to you. That's the right answer. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Got it. Nail that one down. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's an amazing thought. My question this morning for you is this. Do you know the Messiah? Has there been a time in your life when you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? When you believed on Him? When you said, Lord Jesus, I believe who you are, come into my life, be my Messiah, my Savior. If you say yes, good. If you say no, I hope you say, not. Don't say no, say what? Not yet. And folks, there needs to be a time when you, and again, I know when I trusted Christ, October of 1974, before many of you were born, I know that. But I know about when it was. I know where I was. There are some people that say, you know what, I'm saved, I just don't remember the day or the hour. You know, that's fine. Do you believe? And sometimes if people don't know where they were or when, I say, you know what, I'll tell you what you do. You bow your head and tell Jesus, I am trusting you right now. And write it in your Bible. I trusted Jesus Christ for sure on this day. Now, for most of us, it's Christ being formed in you. This has nothing to do with salvation, everything to do with sanctification. Sanctification, what in the world is that? My toothbrush is sanctified. It is set apart. Nobody uses it, okay? That's what it means to be set apart. Sanctified, set apart. Different from everybody else's. It's got my germs on it, okay? I need to be sanctified. I need to be set apart for God, for His use. Christian, that's you. That's you. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy. Folks, that's where we're at. Paul. Paul says, it is good to be zealous in good things always. Good for you. And not only when I am present with you, not only when I'm standing with you, that's not just the time to be excited about good things. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again. This is Paul. He's laboring in birth. What the world is going on here? These folks have been born again. Until Christ is formed in you. Until Christ is formed in you. What does that mean? He's talking about being like Jesus. I don't know how many, I think God gets bored with my prayers. I really do sometimes. Lord, I pray that you cleanse me from sin and help me to be, next word, Christ-like. Help me to be like Jesus. And folks, am I perfect? Answer, go ahead. No, I'm not. That's my aspiration. I want to be holy. I want to be sanctified. I want to be set apart for God. I want to be different from the world so that I can rub it in and say, I'm different than you. Not! I want to be different because God wants me to be different. If people notice it, that's wonderful. If they don't notice it, that's okay. That's what bothers me. I just want to be different for God, okay? Say that with me. Ready? I want to be different for God. Say it again. I want to be different for God. Not so I can parade my righteousness. Not so I can say, well, I'm going to heaven, you're going to hell. I want to be different for God because I love Him. Is that okay? Yeah, that's okay. I want to be different for Him. Until Christ is formed in you, I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. Yo, what that? I have doubts about you. Paul's saying this. You know what? You know, I know you're born again. But here I am, I feel like I'm laboring in labor again to give birth to you again because you are not allowing Christ to be formed. You are not different. And you know what? Sometimes I even wonder about your salvation. Wow, that's a pretty stunning statement. Is that what he says? I have doubts about you. Yeah, in the context of the whole thing, Paul is saying, you know what? Sometimes Galatians. Sometimes I wonder if you're even saved because of your behavior. Folks, sometimes, the most recent one, okay, and you don't know this person, and I'm not going to use their first name, but we were visiting last weekend up in Ridgeway, okay, got back Sunday or Saturday evening. And there's this lady that went to church up in St. Mary's, Faith Baptist Church. She was there pretty frequently. And she's on Facebook. And she's using language that I haven't used for 45 years. She's using words and terminology, and I'm thinking, what in the world are you thinking? And you know what? My question is the lady what? Saved. Is she even saved? Again, that's only one area. There are areas of my life where when I got saved, I tell you folks, I could not even say Jesus and Christ in the same sentence because I had a filthy, ugly mouth. And it took about a year till I could say Jesus Christ. There are words that don't even, they come across my mind. They slither across my mind, but I haven't used them for so long because they are not fit to come out of my mouth. They are not fit. I still struggle with those things, and most of you do also. Folks, my life, my vocabulary, my habits, folks, I need to be different. You need to be different. Hey, let me just check. Ah, his likeness is what you strive for, right? Right? Right. Oh, to be like him. I want to be like Jesus. Not so I can parade my righteousness in front of you. Not so I can feel good about myself. But because I want to please the Father. I want to please the Father. And my prayer for you is this. That number one, you would know Jesus Christ, Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then number two, that you would allow Christ to be formed in you. That you would allow Christ to be formed in you. That you would be more like Jesus every day. Father God, I thank you again for this morning. I thank you for these dear folks here. Father, they are patient, and I thank you for that. They listen, I think, and I thank you for that, Lord. And now, Father, help us as we respond to the Word of God. Oh, to be like you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.